for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world. We are Live and Amplified. So let's get ready to podcast.
Fire it up.
Welcome back to another Live and Amplified Livecast. I'm your host, Tom Quiet, and we are back at it again with another amazing podcast. It is our 25 Days of Christmas podcast special. We have a very special guest coming all the way over from the UK. We have Natalie Miranda. How's it going today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing really well. You know, it's early in the morning, but you know what? Sometimes these are the best to do just because I haven't burnt out all my energy yet, so.
Yeah, exactly.
But excited to get to know you a little bit, sit down and chat, you know, all that fun stuff. So
awesome. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
So just as kind of like a brief introduction, let's take this opportunity to have you introduce yourself, like who you are, what you're about, and all that stuff.
Of course. So my name is Natalie Miranda. I'm an independent artist from London. I would classify my music as pop if I had to, but I'm influenced by a whole bunch of other genres. So soul, blues, rock, Latin as well. Just everything inspires me. And it's all kind of created my own sound and my own mix. Awesome. And and I like to write about empowerment, never giving up, and also about love as well.
Sweet. That's awesome. Well, are you influenced by having listened to the songs that you have out there? Are you influenced by like the big band sound? Do you know what I'm talking about with like a lot of horns, a lot of
big band? It is something I do. I like to listen to it. I haven't as yet done anything, released anything like that. Okay. But it's funny you should say that, because I think next year I'm going to be releasing something a little bit more kind of 70s soul vibes.
Okay.
We'll have a lot of brass in it and stuff like that. But yeah.
Gotcha. Because I was kind of picking it up a little bit as I was listening to the little snippets of Bring My Baby Back that you have out there. And then, I was just kind of picking up on it a little bit. So yeah, that's.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. So you're born and raised in London?
I was, but my family is Greek Cypriots. So I was, my parents moved to London from Cyprus when they were young. And so that's where I was born and raised. But I always consider myself a British-born Cypriot. I'm very, very proud of my roots, and even released a Greek song last year that I wrote. So, yeah.
Awesome. I was picking, or now that you mention it, I do remember seeing that on your Spotify, and I couldn't quite figure out what the language was. Yeah, but yeah. I was like, now that you mentioned it, it's like, okay, that must have been that song. So so growing up in Greece, and then, or I guess technically, is it, if I just say Greece, is that fine, or is it more Cyprus, just to be? So
it's Cyprus, yeah. But I was born in London, but okay. Cyprus is, I've been back to Cyprus every single year since I was a baby.
Gotcha. Okay.
I have family over there, and yeah, so it's very, very close to my heart.
Gotcha. Awesome. Understood now. So what was it, or who introduced you to music? Was it something that was just kind of always there? Was it something you found on your own?
I think it was always in me, to be honest. I mean, I've got pictures of when I was tiny holding, like, you know, plastic microphone and dancing to, you know, whatever was out at the time. But my mum loves music, and she was always playing music in the house. So I have memories of Madonna, you know, Culture Club, Greek music as well, Queen, so many memories. And I think it's all kind of infiltrated into me over the years. And that's probably why I have such an eclectic taste in music, I think.
And then at what point did you kind of realize that, hey, singing is something that you're either good at or something that you need to do, depending on how you want to answer it?
I always loved singing. I mean, I I was a very, very shy kid. So my parents didn't even know that I liked to sing because I used to sing in my room and turn up the stereo like to the max so no one could hear me. I played the piano from a very young age, so they knew that I was musically inclined, but it took me a really long time to sing in public. I was 15 when I first sang in public, and I kind of thought if I don't do this now, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to get to that point where I'm too scared. And it was on holiday one year, there was this karaoke night. I was like, I'm going to do it. I have to do it. And I did it. And it just sort of solidified in me that I got over that hurdle and I love to sing and this is what I want to do. And I've been writing songs for years, but no one knew about it. So it took longer than sort of most people, but I always knew that I wanted to do it, to be an entertainer, to write music and to, you know, just to be out there.
Gotcha. And now, was this all right around the time that you released your first body of work? Was that in 2015, 2016?
No, that was much later. I actually released an album in 2007, which not a lot of people know about. It was at the time when you couldn't really do a lot yourself as an indie artist. You had to have someone to do it for you. And I released this album called Something Something, which was kind of like funky soul. And for one reason or another, I didn't trust the company. So I told them to take everything down. But two songs from that album remain because they ended up on a compilation album, which I had no idea about. So a few years after that, in 2017, I released my 3-track EP called Bulletproof, which was actually just 3 demos. I just wanted to release something, so I chucked these demos out into the world. ever since then, I've just been, you know, writing and kind of changing genre and just being inspired by a whole different variety of things. And yeah, so it's just been on a roll since then.
Nice. It's interesting that you kind of worded it that way, that you've been experimenting with your sound and your like genre and whatnot. I was reading an article yesterday about how Spotify is starting to realize that genres don't mean anything anymore.
Wow.
Like they basically, cause they're getting ready to release their, the wrapped up playlist, like your most listened to, all that stuff's coming out like today, tomorrow, something like that. And somebody put out an article about a study that Spotify did that genres just don't really mean anything anymore because so many musicians are bending genres or switching genres just because they grew up in such an eclectic environment where it's like, mom listened to country and opera, dad listened to rock and hip, you know, just like all these different influences. And so it was an interesting read.
And it's great that they're actually acknowledging that now, because I've had an issue whereby people don't understand that I like to experiment with genres, that they'll say to me, why can't you just pick one thing? We don't know what to do with you. We can't classify you. Yeah. And that's a problem for me because I don't want to be put in a box. I'm an artist, I'm a musician, and I love music. So if I want to do a country song, or if I want to do a heavy metal song, which I would never do, just FYI, because that's not my style. But I like listening to it. But I should be allowed to do whatever I want to. And I think artists need to be given that freedom. You know, Madonna did it all those years ago, and it inspired a whole bunch of artists to do that kind of thing. And it's good to know that Spotify are acknowledging that now.
Yeah, it's something that you're seeing a lot more common now. And, you know, I think it was kind of glamorized there for a little bit by like, or it was made not glamorized, but it was made like culturally aware when bigger names started doing it. Like when Snoop Dogg went from rap to he did the reggae album. And I think recently he did like a gospel out, you know, so like he was starting to do it. And then you start seeing other musicians kind of experimenting. Yeah. And it's starting to like, okay, these are actual musicians with multitude of genres, and they're getting out of these contracts that they signed when they were really young that kind of lock them in like, hey, no, you're doing this. And now that they're free, they're just kind of like, no, I'm going to do what I want. So so we're here to talk about your upcoming release for your Christmas song, which I can't wait to hear the full thing. I've heard bits and bobs and snippets and all this stuff. And, you know, so kind of tell us the story about this song.
Sure. Well, it actually does have a story to it. I wrote it when I was 19, which was a fair few years ago now. And it was part of a housemate challenge when I was studying at university. We were all creatives and we set ourselves this Christmas challenge. So mine was to write a Christmas song. So I sat down and I just drew upon the Christmas, everything I love about Christmas. I love the fact that it can be a bit cheesy, you know, the sleigh bells, the tubular bells, all that kind of stuff. And at the time I was away from my then boyfriend. So the song ended up being, you know, Santa, bring my baby back to me this Christmas time. That's basically the gist of it. And anyway, it just sat there for many, many years. And last year I said to my co-writer and my producer, we have to release this. It's ridiculous. We need to release this Christmas song. So at the beginning of this year, I kind of dragged it out of my old book and we reworked a little bit. I rewrote some of the lyrics because they were a bit kind of 19-year-old me. And we came up with this whole new production, and now it's being released. I feel I'm really proud of the fact that we finally did it, but it's also really emotional because I feel like 19-year-old me would be proud of the fact that I didn't forget it, you know? And it's really just a happy, upbeat Christmas song that I've drawn influences from, you know, like Brenda Lee, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. There's a bit of Mariah sort of influences in there, but it's just basically everything I love about Christmas. Like I said, everything that's happy, and I hope it can just bring a little bit of festive cheer to people in whatever way it might, you know. And the video is also super fun. We filmed it in June at a place in England called the Snow Center, which has got real snow, where like skiers go to practice, you know. And they let me use the place for the entire day, and it was so much fun. And that video is also premiering at the same time at midnight tonight when the song comes out. So I'm just really excited for it to be finally in the world.
That's awesome. I love the fact that independent music, like, because I feel like before, music videos were kind of like a dying breed. Like you know, it was after MTV kind of went more reality based, and YouTube quite wasn't. It was a very select few music videos that were getting like real playing time on YouTube. But now, like, the independent scene is just kind of really doubling down on releasing music videos, and it's really cool to see all the, you know, all the creative expression and like the, you know, the chances some musicians are taking on these music videos. Because it's like, you know what, I'm not going to be judged on this music video because I'm a musician, so let's try something crazy and see what happens. And it some of it is working out really well, so I'm excited to see this music video.
Oh, thank you.
So you said you wrote this when you were 19,
yes.
Bring My Baby. This was your first Christmas song, right?
This is the first one
you put up. Was it, obviously writing it when you were 19, it was kind of always a dream to get it out eventually. What was it? And you kind of mentioned this a little bit ago. What was it that kind of perked your ear up and like, hey, let's go revisit this song?
Well, I mean, I felt that it was strong. I felt, you know, it needed a little bit of reworking here and there, but I just felt like it's just Christmas for me is, you know, I just think of, you know, fun and sort of nostalgia, you know, and it's a happy song, and I wanted to get it out this year. The whole world has had like a very strange past sort of 3 years. We've all been through a very strange period, and I feel like we need more happiness. We need more joy, you know, and if I can bring a little bit of that to people, then at this time of year, then that would mean a lot, you know? So, and I just felt like it was time to just tick it off my list, you know? So I've done it, and I can just move on with more projects.
Fair enough. You know, it's, That's cool. You know, I think a lot of musicians kind of have that, like, I want to release a Christmas song, but it's such a weird thing to try and do, because you're like, the Christmas season here in America, really, realistically, it's about a month, maybe 6 weeks is how long Christmas season is. I'd imagine in the UK, it's probably a little bit longer. Is that about how long it is over there as well?
Yeah, it's probably about the same. I mean, the stores have had Christmas decorations up since October. Okay. You know, it's
fair.
So, yeah.
fair. Yeah. So, you know, obviously it's kind of hard to, like, if you come in the end of October, it's like, oh, hey, I'm in the Christmas mood. I want to write a Christmas song. The odds of you getting it out before Christmas, unless you just happen to be loaded and have the song like ready to go, you know, by like the first week of November, and you're some kind of savant. But, you know, it's one of those things that it's like really hard to get. Yeah. And the fact that a lot of musicians are just kind of curbing that, and it's like, you know what? No, June, July, I'm inspired. Let's go. Or even the year prior, like, and they're planning out till next year, which is really cool. So, with that being said, the song will be out tonight. Technically drops November 30th, because I've come to realize I could say midnight tonight and it doesn't necessarily drop at midnight tonight in America.
Yeah.
Drops at some other time. It drops on November 30th. The music video is dropping. What's kind of running through your mind right now as you kind of approach this, the finish line here?
I'm always super, super nervous. Like I don't tend to sleep. Like, so at midnight I'll be there like for the video premiere on YouTube. And then if anyone's commenting, you know, on socials, I'll be there making sure that I'm replying at least a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then I'll be all sort of hyped up, and I just want people to enjoy it, basically. And and especially because of, you know, the whole story behind it. I just and it's so random for me to release a Christmas song. So but I know my fans like that about me, the fact that I do just do random things. I mean, I released a Spanish song last month, you know, so it's just I just once it's out, I can just take a little breath and sit back.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I've really appreciated having had been able to kind of look into your music and stuff over the last few days as we've been talking, and I was first introduced to you, you know, just kind of going through and seeing how consistent you are with your releases and how unafraid you are to take a chance. Like you said, you released a Spanish song, and then you released a song in Greek, and just kind of not afraid to take these chances, just to, whether it's to fulfill a creative need in your life, or you just, you know, like whatever the reasons are, I really appreciate the fact that you're just, you're consistent, which I think a lot of musicians kind of struggle with that consistency as far as getting music out there, but B, in that consistency, you also take chances.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's I guess it's also a sort of a result of always being, I've been criticized a lot over the years, you know, and obviously as artists, we all get rejected over the years. It's like 99% rejection, which has been the case for me. But, and I feel like it's just made me stronger, and it's made me kind of be like, whatever, don't like my music. I'm just going to carry on doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I think if I'm being authentic and if I'm just being myself, then listeners and more like potential fans will feel that. Yeah. And then for me, that's more important, you know?
Yeah. 100% agreed. So you'd mentioned that you've been criticized. Where is that coming from? Is that coming? Do you think that's still stemming from you pulling your music down from 2007, or where's that criticism coming from?
I think it's more to do with the fact that I don't sound like what people would classify as a pop voice. Okay. I think, I'm not sure what it's like in the States right now, but over here, if you listen to kind of, you know, the mainstream radio stations, everything sounds the same.
Yep. Same here. Yes.
You know, and it's not to say I don't like some sort of modern artists, you know, but for me, I grew up in a period I grew up in the 90s when everything was okay. You had Madonna, you had Britpop, you had rock bands, everything. And I loved that. And that all inspired me to be the artist I am today. So when somebody comes to me and says, sorry, your song's not right for us, or your style isn't for us, you sound too different, we don't know what to do with you, why don't you just try doing this?
Yeah.
It annoys me because I'm like, well, actually, you have to take a chance on someone to find out if it's actually going to be a thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, there's the famous story about the Beatles being rejected, you know, and look what happened with that. You know, I mean, someone has to take a chance on an artist in order to see if something will happen. And I don't think people are willing to do that anymore in the industry. They want to be sure that you're going to be a success. There's no foresight, or there's no imagination anymore.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that I'm not willing to change who I am is irritating to radio stations or in the mainstream world. Yeah. So I'm very lucky to have there's a lot of online stations that play my music, and I'm so grateful to them for that.
Yeah.
But as far as mainstream goes, I don't know if that will ever happen for me, but I'm going to continue doing my thing.
It's kind of funny. You brought up, like, you're not willing to change who you are, and it's irritating to people. I've had this conversation with my dad a million and a half times because I'm so stubborn that, like, he's like, well, if you just did this and you changed this and all this, it's like, no, that's not who I am. I am that random person that I'll be, you know, I'll wake up at 2 a.m. and do a podcast interview with somebody in New Zealand just because it's, you know, like, whatever. And they've got 6 followers, you know?
It
makes no mind to me, because those 6 followers mean something to me, you know, and just kind of like, it's a common conversation that's out there. You're not alone. And I think it has to do, like I said, with our generation, because I also grew up in the 90s. You know, we had exposure to multiple different genres, and it's our parents' fault because, you know, my mom, she was very much into the classic rock. So you had like the Eagles, Jethro Tull, Styx, Queen, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. And then my dad was more jazz, like he like listened to jazz music. And then my grandparents were like Perry Como and stuff like that. And then my buddies, they were like rap, hip hop, rock, heavy metal, you know, so I kind of just got introduced to it all. And it's like, I don't care what's popular, like, you know?
Yeah, you know, and it's, and I think also you reach a stage in your life. I mean, when I was in my 20s, I did try to change. I tried to do the sort of singer-songwriter thing, you know, because I play the piano, but that didn't work for me. I prefer to be just the performer, you know? I tried to change how I sang. I tried to fit into something that wasn't me. And and I reached a stage in my life, maybe since about 3 years ago. And I just went, you know what? I really just don't have time for this anymore. If I'm not going to be myself, then there really is no point.
100%.
And you know, Perry.
I was going to say, and I will say, like, everything that you're doing right now is authentically you, because I can tell, like, having spoken to you, having seen your Instagram posts and like some of the stuff you have there, and then listening to your music, everything you're presenting is authentically you. It's contagious. Like, I'm invested now. It's like, and everybody that listens to the podcast, they'll get invested. They'll just kind of start rolling down the rabbit hole of everything Natalie Moran, you know. So I find that with musicians that are authentic to themselves and are doing things because they want to do it, not because they feel like they have to appease the algorithms or appease a higher power, you know, like whatever it is. I think those are the musicians that'll have long-standing success in this industry. So since this is a Christmas podcast, and I don't want to keep you too much longer here, I got a few very specific Christmas questions for you.
Sure, go for it.
So what is your go-to Christmas movie every year?
Oh, that's such a hard question. I love Christmas movies. Okay. I liked Scrooged with Bill Murray.
Yep.
But I mean, that is a very hard question. I could list 100.
I will say though, Scrooged scarred me so much as a kid.
Oh no.
That I can't watch it. Like my dad watched it once when I was like 9 or 10 years old. Right. And there's just like one or two scenes that just scarred me for life. And I was I think I'm good here. So.
Okay. Well, yeah. Like I said, there's so many more, like Home Alone. You know, It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah.
There's so many classic, like, and that's the interesting part right now is there's so many classics that everybody everybody tends to watch. But now I've been over the last few years, I've been going down this rabbit hole of watching some of the newer stuff that's getting released. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's this movie that I'm currently watching called 8-Bit Christmas, which is about growing up in the 80s and 90s during Christmas time.
Oh, I have to watch that. That sounds great.
Yeah. Oh, it's a good, like, it's basically a Christmas story, but instead of a Red Ryder or BB gun, it's a Nintendo is what it is.
Okay. So,
which is absolutely, you know, so just kind of watching some of these newer movies that are coming out, it's like, oh, there's still good movies coming out. They're not the classics, but they're like, they have the potential to be classics down the road. So and then growing up in London, spending Christmas time, what is your favorite memory during Christmas as a kid?
I think it's just that anticipation, like Christmas Eve, you know, where you're like, oh my God, Santa's coming, you know, and, you know, you wake up and there's the mince pie that's been bitten into, you know, and all the presents under the tree, just that excitement. And then, you know, your family coming over and just having fun and just carefree fun.
Yeah, for sure. I think those simple times are the best memories. Yeah. Like I guarantee you could recall a single moment during any one of those times where the family was over just Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, like whenever it was.
So many,
So really appreciate you taking the time to sit down and chat with me. It's been an absolute blast.
Oh, thank you.
For anybody that wants to check out Bring My Baby Back, wants to check out the music video, the song, just check out your social media and all that fun stuff, where's the best place to find you?
Well, if you go to my website, which is nataliemiranda.com, on there you can access all my socials. And if you sign up to the website, you get a free download of Terremoto, which is my Spanish single. Nice. I may actually change that to be the Christmas single, but if you sign up to the mailing list, you get all updates about future gigs and events and music. So yeah, it's a good place to be.
Awesome. Before we wrap this up, speaking of gigs, how often are you playing right now?
I haven't done too many this year in London. I've maybe done 3 or 4, but I've already started booking for next year. So I hope to have a lot more originals gigs next year. Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. Awesome. And then just to kind of wrap this up, what are your plans this Christmas?
I'm just going to stay home with my family. And obviously we'll be blasting out Bring My Baby Back. Yep. But the whole neighborhood's here. No, I'm just going to stay home with my family and just have a pretty quiet one. But I like that. I do like that.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, once again, Natalie Miranda, thank you so much for hanging out with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And once again, thank you everybody for tuning in, and we will talk to you all later.